The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Today I want to talk about a passage that is a commonly misinterpreted passage that people take to heart, and it has caused some damage in the church, some damage in the kingdom, and most of that damage that is caused has been very internal for those that have put stake in this verse, the misinterpretation of it. Now, it's going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We were there last week. If you remember, we talked about judge not lest you be. Anybody know what the last word there is? Judged. So we discussed what it meant to be a person that was kind and loving and open-minded and cared about people, that held up righteousness and rightness with God as paramount, but also you did not look at other people and judge them when you yourself had some things to work on in your own life. Don't try to pick the speck out of someone else's eye when you've got a big stick sticking out of yours. Take care of your own business first. And that was a passage that has been misinterpreted, that people have stepped back in the church and said, you can't judge anyone. But yes, you can. You can say this is the standard that Scripture teaches that we must live by, according to other passages. And that's last week's sermon. You'll have to go back and look at that. Then verse 6, I skipped over verse 6 last week because it is a passage that people get a little bit lost in. Matthew 7, verse 6, it's do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This passage is talking about the futility. This is not the focus passage, by the way. This is a side note till we get there. But the futility of teaching things of the Lord to people that are not going to receive it, that reject it, that are not willing to hear it. And then we get to verse 7. This is the focus for the day. This is a passage that we have quoted, that we have prayed, that we have claimed, that we have said to each other in words of encouragement, that we may have even quoted this or thought this particular passage this week. There may have been a time we said, I need help, Lord. You said this in Scripture. I want to claim that. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, for thousands of years, there have been an interpretation, a couple thousand years, there's been interpretation of this text to mean one way that was closer to what the Greek intended for it to say. But along the first part of this century, this last century, there was a movement that began to take this passage and look at it, I guess, drill down on it a little more and make it very personal. And that if I want something, all I have to do is ask for it. If I want something of God, no matter what that is, all I have to do is ask. Now, I want to tell you, if I were to ask you all to stand right now and face another person, just pick one other person, stand. I'm not doing that because it's too much trouble to get up and get back down. It'll kill 5 minutes. If you were to stand and look at that person, stare at them in the eyes, and think in your mind, you need to shake my hand. I want you to shake my hand. Shake my hand now. I want you to shake my hand. But never say it out loud. Would that person be inclined to shake your hand? Probably not. Probably not. Maybe some people, that's their reflex motion, so they might do it because they know they're in church and that's an action that people do all the time. That hand might come up and they might shake your hand, but they would not know what's going on in your mind and in your heart. I know that couples have this all the time where you have had an entire conversation with your spouse and they don't know it. You've been standing in the kitchen. You've told them to do some things. You've asked them to do something for you. You've asked their opinion on that that topic. You've told them your opinion on that topic, and they're not even in the room. Has that happened? Could have happened today. And not only do you do that, you're very disappointed in the answer that they didn't give you. And so later on, you might confront them and say to them, I can't believe you didn't respond to what I asked you earlier. And you say back to them, I was at work. How could I hear what you had to say? Well, that's how things happen with us personally all the time. Is we think that there are some things that we need that we may not have full perspective on what is best for our life, but we're thinking, well, God really ought to do this for me. I need help with this, Lord. Can you provide this for me? We ask. What's happened to this, you can call it all kinds of theology. I've called it prosperity gospel. I've called it name it and claim it gospel, where people can say that they believe that if you were to ask God for something, he's required, because of this verse, to respond to you because you asked for it. Back when we were in our 20s, I don't know if we were married at the time or I was living with my roommates, but I remember being on TV, a particular pastor that he squinted and contorted his face when he preached all the time. He lived in Dallas. I don't know if you remember this particular guy. He was on channels everywhere. He did all kinds of things. And he was a name it and claim it preacher. And if you were to order online, or there wasn't an online back then, it was a 1-800 number. You would have called that 1-800 number and give them a donation. They would send you a cloth. And that cloth was blessed by somebody on that staff, but they claimed it was him. So it was blessed, and you get this cloth, and that cloth was like a magic cloth that you could keep in your life, and it would give you blessings, and you would have prosperity in your life. Seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Seems ridiculous. I ordered it. I ordered it for a reason. I wanted to have it as an illustration. I wanted to use that to teach, because back then I didn't have a whole lot of material, so I needed some material. So I literally got some material. And I got this piece of cloth, and I used that for stories. I used it for all kinds of things. But I want to tell you, I never got a new truck out of that cloth. Much as I rubbed it, oh, Lord, bring me an F-150. I'd like to have a new one. Got turned down by the bank. We know that sounds ridiculous, but there are people that believe that this passage says this to us, that it's a promise from God that says no matter what you ask, no matter when you ask it, he is going to provide that for you. Now, I hope that you're not in that camp today, because if you have leaned on that and God has not provided things for you when you thought that you should have got them, it diminishes your faith in him. It causes you to think, well, I've trusted that word. Because I trusted that word, God should have given me what I needed or what I wanted at the moment, and he didn't do that. So he must not care about me, or not only that, he may not even exist. How can it be true that this is said and he didn't give me what I wanted? Now, there's some things that we want are not really good for us, are they? I want whatever it might be. That maybe I would have got that truck, and that truck would have been a problem for me, and it would have given me trouble on the highway. I'd have had a wreck in it. Whatever it might have been that I just wasn't ready to have my character developed enough to earn something. Whatever it is, I would have been damaged if I believed that that magic cloth would have given me a secret passkey to get whatever I want from God. If you're a farmer and you want rain, you ask for rain, but it's not in God's time to do what he's doing with the rain, because it may cause some problem somewhere else. He has got his eye on the big picture, not on the little picture. Now, for centuries, this passage has been interpreted by the church fathers. And there's not one, I couldn't find one, that believed that this passage was a name it, claim it verse. All of them said this. This passage is about persistence in prayer. Persistence in trusting God. Persistence in seeking after Him. Let me just read what a couple of them have said. John Chrysostom. He highlighted the importance of persistence in prayer, noting that Jesus encourages believers to continually ask, seek, and knock. So it's persistence. Augustine of Hippo. Augustine interpreted these verses as an assurance of God's readiness to respond to the prayers of the faithful. He emphasized that the act of asking, seeking, and knocking reflects a deep trust in God's providence and a desire to align one's will with God's will. Origen said this. These verses were an invitation to spiritual growth. He believed that asking, seeking, and knocking represent different stages of spiritual development and each action leading to a believer closer to a deeper understanding of God. And it goes on. These are all theologians from way back in the past. You get that into current day, and it would say there are plenty of evangelical scholars that would say that this verse is exactly what those folks have said. David Enstone Brewer says this. He's a Baptist in England, a theologian. He says this. When one reads these verses, we stress the words received, open, and find. He's saying that this is using modern English methodology of understanding a sentence, when the Greek methodology would say this is the emphasis is on the action that you take. The emphasis is on the action that you have taken. Ask, that's the emphasis. Seek, that's the emphasis. Knock, that's the emphasis. And because we've done those things, we put ourselves in a position to being able to hear from God. So we trust Him. We're trusting Him with our faith that He is not only capable, He is able, and He wants to provide. I want to take us on to the next verse just for a minute, verse 9. So that don't leave us in a coldness that God's not going to give us anything. Okay, that's what it feels like, that it's about us persistently asking, but God doesn't have to respond. But here's what it says in verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law of the prophets. So what he is saying in this passage, what he is teaching us, the words of Jesus, is that God loves you very much, and He wants the best for you. So if you are in a situation where you need healing, and that's where we all find ourselves. We will all find ourselves in that circumstance somewhere in life where we're sick, nothing is working, nothing seems to be making progress, and we go to this verse and we ask and we seek and we knock and we petition the Lord and we ask for healing. We're not asking an impatient or an unloving God. We're asking a God that loves you completely. We're asking for His will to be done in our lives. We're asking for Him to take care of us. We're asking for Him to heal us. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Do not hold back on your petitions to God. You can trust Him. If I were a little less planned out today, I might stop right now and just stop and pray. So maybe we should. Maybe we should. There may be something in your heart that you've been holding on to that you need from God, and some hope, some encouragement, some strengthening, something that maybe a physical touch from Him today, and you need that. And we want to lay that at the Lord's feet and say, God, I trust You with that. So for a moment, just bow your heads. There may be another person in this room that needs to have God bless them that's on your heart, Father. And I mean, folks, and I pray that you would lift that person up to the Lord right now. Father, I pray for, fill in the blank, put that name there. Lord, I pray for healing in their life. Lord, I pray that you provide their needs. Father, they may have an addiction they cannot break free from, and I pray that you would help them break free from the addiction. Father, they may not have answers in their life that they need, and I pray that you would open up their mind and heart and they receive answers. Father, they may have physical ailments that nothing is working on from the doctor, and I pray that you would heal them. And Father, we are asking today, and we're seeking today. And Father, we trust that you will open the door in their life. We know that you love them and you love us. And Father, you care for us so much that when we ask for something, that you're not going to give us something bad for us. You're going to give us what's good and what honors you. Father, there may be something in our heart that we've been holding on to that we just can't trust you with. And I pray that right now we trust you, whatever that might be. We pray all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's some key things I want you to take away from this passage. Is that we are to be encouraged to pray. This passage is encouraging us to pray to the Lord consistently and persistently. To trust Him. To do it often. To not shy away. And to be strengthened by it. And we're to be encouraged that God is generous and cares about us. He cares about us greatly, more than we could understand, more than we could ever articulate. He loves us. Mike, what I heard in your testimony today, because I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, was God sent the right person at the right time, all the time for you. Not just once and not just every now and then, but it was throughout your entire life. He cared about you. He met you right at the place of need, right when you had it, and only He could have known it, and He provided it. And we all have that. We have those testimonies and those stories. God may have used you to be the right person at the right time, to say the right word, because His will was going to be worked out in someone else's life. Next thing I want us to take from this passage is that we need to have active faith, not passive faith. One of those common conversations that I have that nobody else hears is, man, I'm hungry. I wish somebody would bring me a sandwich. I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, don't want to get up. If I get up, it'll cause a whole bunch of other things to happen. I won't ever make it back here. So if someone would just bring me something to eat, I'd be okay. Now, I want to tell you, Karen's better at that. She somehow knows. She somehow knows that I need one more Coke Zero. One more. This passage is saying be active in your faith. Seek Him out. Seek Him out. There are people all over. We talked about this Wednesday night, by the way. That the day with the least amount of traffic in every city in America is Sunday morning. Because people aren't going to church anymore. People aren't seeking the Lord anymore. Or a lot of people aren't. They're not going to find Him unless they seek Him. Be active. Be active. Look for an opportunity to spend time with Him. Look for an opportunity to pray. I want you to walk a day with assurance that God loves you and He's faithful. That when you seek Him, He is faithful and He cares about you. And last is, I want you to know that this activity, this behavior, this cycle causes spiritual growth in your life. I remember a time, I'll end with this story and we'll be done. There was a time in college when all kinds of things were breaking down all around me and my family. Not personally. I was doing fine. I had a new girlfriend. We've been dating about a month. Ended up getting married. She wasn't on me this trip. I didn't want to subject her to what I was facing back home. But in this little short period of time, I had two aunts die and a grandmother die, and my parents got divorced all in about 2 months. All this was happening at one time. Now, that's a lot for anybody, but it was a lot when you're trying to have this long-distance relationship with your family, and you can't really be involved because you can't even afford long-distance phone calls. I'm driving home for one of the funerals, and I'm driving a Datsun B210. Now, you may not remember a Datsun B210. Does anybody remember what it looked like? It was a little bit like a modern Volkswagen. It was little bitty, kind of egg-shaped, had a hatchback. The hatchback opened up big enough to fit a couch in to move from one apartment to another one. I know because I've done that many times. And I was in this Datsun B210, and when you would drive down the interstate and a truck would pass you, you would go immediately onto the shoulder. The wind would just blow you over. That's how little it was. The storm was going on so hard that a gust of wind would happen, both hands on the steering wheel, and I would change lanes. That's the kind of storm it was. And I started thinking, this is the life I'm living right now in the middle of the storm. It is a terrible storm. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it through it. I probably just need to pull over and quit. Just about the time all this got the worst, I said, Lord, is this what it's going to be like from now on in life? He spoke to me in a way that it was obvious it was him. Because out of a torrential storm, it was like a sheet. I drove through a sheet, and it was pure sunlight on the other side. And the highway was dry. And he said, I have control of your life. And it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I care about you. Now that's this word coming to life. Ask, seek, knock, and he answers. He answers. And you can trust him. You may be at one of those times in life right now when it looks so terrible that you don't know if you're ever going to get out of it. You don't know if you're going to make it through. You need an answer from him. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Let's pray. Father, I pray that right now that the folks that need to hear from you most would hear it this moment, this time, today. Lord, you give them the courage to keep knocking. You give them the courage to be in fellowship with you, to be active in their faith, to seek after you. And Lord, when they get discouraged, that you would lift them up. You'd send words to them from friends, words from your scripture, words from songs, words from just the Holy Spirit speaking deep into their heart, saying, you love them greatly. So, Father, we trust you today that this word is true. We will find. The door will be open. We'll hear from you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.